Often we who want harmony and lightness can tend to focus on doing less, asking for less, and being as invisible as possible. In this episode, I talk about how sometimes we want to do more, ask for more, and be more obvious in our requests. So here we go, episode 237, More is More. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. Before I get into the main part of the podcast, I wanted to tell a cute story, or, well, a story about something cute my horses did. And I don't know, I always, whenever I want to tell a story like this on the podcast, I always feel like I've told this already. So if I've told this already, sorry, you're going to hear it again. But this is a different version, because this is a story about something that happened today. So a lot of you may know and may have seen the video of me playing catch with my horse Atomic, where he literally will catch this thing. It used to be a ball, but it's really just a piece of fabric that used to cover the ball. The ball popped, but he seems to enjoy playing with just the canvas cover of it. So the floppy piece of material that used to be a ball. Anyway, because I can throw it to him and he can really easily catch it on the fly, and then he throws it back to me. So somewhere exists a video of this. And that alone is super cute. But I've been playing this with some other horses and testing it out. And so far, none of the other horses are catching it on the fly. I mean, I haven't tried really hard, but they don't tend to want to catch it on the fly. And I've just been practicing, seeing if I can get other ones to throw either the ball or this piece of fabric. And so I have a few. A lot of them will do this. Solana prefers to just play with the actual ball, and she prefers to push it with her nose. But I can still, you know, roll it to her, and then she pushes it and rolls it back to me, which is super cute. Natia is pretty good at picking things up and flinging them, which is also really cute because she's not a very playful personality. She's pretty buttoned up. So it's really, really cute when she starts grabbing things and flinging them. Ovation, it's no problem. But Ovation actually prefers to play catch. He prefers to play fetch. So he prefers if I throw something to him or roll it, he'll pick it up and then just hand it to me. So, which is handy sometimes. But mostly he likes to carry around a food dish, and then you put a piece of food in it, and then he puts it down, and then he eats out of it. That's what he likes to do. But Teo really loves to pick things up and twirl them around for a long time. And so I've been developing with him to teach him to actually like let go and have it go somewhere in front of him. The joke is like he actually, the way he spins it around and the timing of when he lets go, he actually ends up putting some backspin on it. So even if he throws it a little bit out, it'll end up rolling back to him. And I tell him like, hey, buddy, like you used to not have friends, but now you have friends. Like you don't have to just play with yourself. You can actually throw it to a buddy. So I'm trying to help him with his timing to see if he can let go a little sooner and doesn't put the backspin on it. And Cora also is learning to throw. She thinks it's a little bit silly, but yeah, she'll pick it up and she will toss it in the air. So they all have the different style, and it's just really, really fun for me to see if I can, you know, duplicate this. And can I really, Tomic is sort of a savant, but can I really target when they let go of the thing, or to let go of it, and then when they let go of it, so it actually goes somewhere. Because Atomic is really good. Like, we can just play catch and I don't have to move a whole lot. So I've been getting a little bit of that going with multiple horses. And then one day I thought, well, let me try it with a couple horses. So I've done it with different combinations of like Solana, Atomic, and then Cora, and then add Teo into the mix. And it's just cute because they all have their different styles. And sometimes they throw it to me and then I'll throw it to somebody else. Anyway, it's very, very adorable. And this morning I had Atomic and Teo together in the aisle. And they Atomic thought it was really funny because his aim is so good. He actually a few times threw it. We were playing with the fabric ball so that I could throw it to Atomic and he can catch it. And then he'd fling it and it would end up like going on top of Teo's neck. So he's so good with his aim. He'd just fling it. Teo would just stand there and then land on his head or his neck. And then Teo figured out he'd like put his head down and then it would fall to the ground. Then he could get it. And yeah, very, very cute. And Teo, it ended, you know, so we had a few going and actually it got in a little groove where I could step away and Atomic would throw it to Teo. It would land at his feet. Teo would pick it up, twirl it around, let go of it at the right time so that it would land so Atomic could pick it up. And they got like four in a row where they actually tossed it back and forth to each other. And I didn't have to go in and, you know, go pick up the ball and give it to them. And I think that was really, really cute. And then the really, really cute part was there was a moment where Teo was twirling it around because he just really likes to twirl it around. And Atomic had snuck a little closer. So Teo was twirling it around and Atomic's like trying to bite at it. He looked like he was trying to catch it and, you know, and take it from him. So anyway, that's how I spent a large part of my morning when it got really hot out. We just go in the barn aisle and do silly horse tricks. And I think it's pretty freaking cool. So I thought I'd share it with you. So there you have it. Okay, now, what was I supposed to be talking about on this pod? Yeah, usually I write some notes, but I'm just going to be riffing today. So yeah, more is more. So a lot of times we'll get questions, you know, I'm talking to students all the time, and often there's this theme that made me want to talk about this where people express their desire to have everything light and soft and invisible, and then But then they have trouble balancing that with, but I want some results. You know, I want to do stuff. And sometimes they feel like they go through a stage where they're not asking much of their horse. They're focusing on these minute moments and how soft can things go and the slightest try and, you know, all of that, which is all fantastic stuff. But then it ends up feeling like a trade-off of like, all right, I was like doing all these powerful moves and, you know, my horse was strong and maybe had a little bit of brace. Then they're trying to get rid of that. And maybe their aids felt too strong and obvious. So they're trying to get rid of that. But they go on the other end of the pendulum swing. Everything is soft. Everything is light. But now their horse is out of shape and they don't have the same power. And sometimes they don't get the same results. They don't get, you know, that outcome that they want. And this is a normal pendulum swing. And sometimes it's necessary to go all the way to the other end of the pendulum in order to find the middle. How do you know what the middle is unless you play with some of those ends of the pendulum swing? So I thought that might be fun to talk about, because the bottom line is often you need to power up. Like there needs to at some point be this energy level that comes up, and you know, in order to do stuff, in order to jump the jump or cut the cow or make it down the trail, you know, there's going to be a certain level of physicality in there, and a lot of so. If your horses start lacking that physicality, then they're not going to be able to do what you are asking, even if they want to, and it's going to feel different. And think of, you know, an athletic body poised and ready for action versus a couch potato. Even if a couch potato gets poised for action, you know, their level of what action means is going to be maybe different than, you know, an athlete that's in shape. So I think conceptually, it's just important to know that this is not a trade-off. You can be soft, you can be light, you can have invisible aids, and you can have an amazing super athlete who's like on it. And I, you know, hopefully that makes sense. But counterintuitively, sometimes asking for more and challenging your horse more and using more what might feel like obvious aids is the key to the lightness. That sometimes you're not going to be able to find the lightness that you're looking for unless you add more to what's going on. And that's the piece I want to really play with. One, and I'll probably be using some analogies here, but like think of, if I think about a horse, if a student's describing them as heavy, braced, heavy and braced, and the aids feel like they're too strong, you can definitely go in and deconstruct and change the horse's education and thought about the aids and open the small doorways. And I talk about that a lot. Like sometimes the doorway is small. You just have to like get rid of the defensiveness and build the trust and just ask for the tiniest responses and prove to them that there's lightness at the end of the tunnel. And that's what opens the big door for you then to be able to add more power to the system and have it be positive. But think of this analogy of a powerboat on the water, and you're trying to lift the front end, right? So you're trying to get the front lighter. You're trying to get the reins not to feel heavy and braced. So you want the front of the boat to feel lighter. You can climb to the front of the boat and try to lift that front of the boat up all day, and it's probably not going to happen. But if you turn the engine on, put a little power from behind, the front end of the boat comes up. So that's just an analogy. It's the analogy will fail in some circumstances, but it's an important visual that I think is really helpful because that does happen. We can see it happen. We felt it happen. And it's like that amazing feeling of you turn the engine on, hit the power, and you feel that front end of the boat come up and sort of ride above the wave. That can happen with horses. There's a certain subset of horses that when you add the energy, that is what will create the lightness. And that's just the truth. So, and you can analyze it. You can think of, okay, did they step under with their hind legs more? Did they, you know, there's lots of pieces to the puzzle. It could be just that they woke up. And they're like, whoa, I really want to go for it because going for it is a lot more fun and interesting than just doing these like little bitty walk steps and everything's so precise and now they're asleep and they're heavy. So there are moments where it's worth trying. It's worth trying of like, maybe I need to do whatever your horse's equivalent of powering up from behind is. And when I say that, it doesn't just mean, oh, get the big spurs and push them on. No, it means whatever that makes sense for your horse to get the power from behind. Some of you can just like sit back and, you know, let them go, ask for it. Maybe they really want to do it. For others, it might be go gallop up a hill. It might be take a break and, you know, go out on the trail, find something they want to move towards and let them have some energy and see what happens. See what happens. And I say that analogy fails because, you know, if you're in a car and you just power up from behind, that front end probably is not going to go up in the air, right? So with a car, the front end won't go up in the air and get lighter unless you build a ramp for it to go up. If you build a ramp for it to go up and hit the power, then yes, it will fly through the air very light on the front end. But you need to You need to actually encourage the front end to come up. Same thing like for a horse jumping a jump. Yes, they need a lot of pushing power, but at the moment they push, their front end better be already pointing up. They have to lift their front end and then push it up. So these things, you know, it gets complicated if you try to make the perfect analogy. But if you are someone who's been being diligent and precise and maybe doing a lot of walk work and really thinking about every moment and, you know, opening those small doors, and you're having some success with that, but you're losing too many other things, it might not be a bad idea to try doing more. Sometimes more is more. And you might be wondering, how are you going to know? Like, how do you know for sure? And if you've been listening to me enough, you probably can guess that my answer would be, I don't know, try it, see what happens. Well, one of the really great diagnostic tools that I have in my toolbox with horses is, if I'm not sure if I'm in a good dynamic with a horse, add energy to it and see what happens. So often, if you add energy, it just amplifies what's happening. So if you're too much on the forehand and you add energy, like in a way that they can't deal with energy, it's going in the wrong direction, and you add energy, you'll get more on the forehand, right? And if they're a little crooked and you add more energy, sometimes they'll get more crooked. So sometimes if they're a little anxious and you add energy, sometimes they get more anxious. And sometimes, like we just were, well, like I was just talking about, sometimes if you add energy, it actually improves it. So it's a really great tester to see how the dynamic is going. It usually will give you a lot of information. And if the dynamic's good, if you've been diligent in your precise invisible light process, and you've put that time in to create a dynamic of more lightness, but you feel like, I'm losing other things, well, then add energy. And if you've got the dynamic functioning well, and then you add energy, now you should get more power. And so that can happen. Or you could add energy and it could get worse. And then you go, okay, if you add energy and things get worse, then there's some other missing piece that you need to be diligent about and get that dynamic functioning, you know, a little more healthy before you add the energy. And so, like I said, all these things can happen, but often students are surprised by how sometimes adding that energy can really improve things. It often feels counterintuitive. Why would I add more? My horse is already leaning in my hands. Why would I add more energy to that? Well, just try it. It'll either get better, worse, or stay the same. And then you know. And that experimentation, you know, it's such a huge part of the sweet spot protocol that I teach, where it's this combination of relaxation, energy, and balance. And we practice playing with them separately. And then we notice how they combine. How does everything change when I turn one of those dials? How do things change when I play with the relaxation dial? How does that affect the energy? How does that affect the balance? And it can affect it in very interesting and surprising ways. Sometimes if you work on relaxation, that actually releases energy in a horse. That blew my mind the first time I experienced that with a horse. Sometimes if you change the balance, you know, if you play around with different alignments and different balances, where, you know, how high or low should that neck be? I don't know. Let's play with it and notice, how does that affect the energy? How does that affect the horse's relaxation? And as we're talking about, if you play with the energy dial, turning it up and down, how does that affect the relaxation and how does that affect the balance? So you want to be playing with this all the time. So don't forget to sometimes add the energy, especially I think in the people who were you know, attracted to riding in harmony and really going for this lightness, who talk a lot about harmony, talk about lightness, you know, my tribe here, I feel like that's a piece that often gets missing from the more, competitive world. That's a big generalized bucket I just said there. But for more results-driven, performance-driven, focused people, often the energy is the go-to, like keep them going, keep your leg on, you know, push, make, you know, get them to do it. Like they've got the energy. And then often it's other dials that they need to turn and play with. So we just want to be using the full spectrum. There's nothing wrong with asking your horse to like dial it up a bit in the energy department. There's nothing wrong with that. Energy is not the opposite of relaxation. All right. So what do I mean, you know, by doing more? I said in the beginning, you know, sometimes we want to do more, we want to ask for more, and we want to be more obvious in our requests. So what do I mean by that? I want to tell you about a brand new online course that I have, and I'm really excited about it. It's called How to Create a Happy Athlete, and it's based on the Happy Athlete Training Scale, which is a proven framework for ethical training that prioritizes your horse's well-being as you move up the levels. If you're the kind of person who loses sleep worrying about how to keep your horse happy and still advance, then you're not oversensitive. You're just really aware, and it means you care. And those are actually superpowers. The reality is you don't have to choose between results and your relationship. You just need to know how to prioritize. So it's about being strategic and having a blueprint to guide you. And that's what the How to Create a Happy Athlete course does. It gives you that framework, and then it shares key exercises. You'll get theory, demonstration, and you'll see me coaching riders through those exercises for their first time. It's really the ideal starting point for anyone of any discipline. It's actually my most concise, powerful, and least expensive online course. So if you've been wanting to learn more from me and you haven't been sure like exactly where to start, this is it. Now, if you're already studying dressage naturally, you're going to love adding this to your library. Because you're a listener of the pod, you get the special Friend of Dressage Naturally special crazy discount. You can save more than 50% on the course. So go to go.dressagenaturally.net/hats, as in HATS, Happy Athlete Training Scale. So again, that's go.dressagenaturally.net/HATS, and I'll leave the link in the show notes. So again, go.dressagenaturally.net/HATS. Use code HATS100 to get it for $97. All right, back to the pod. Well, by doing more, that can mean building strength and stamina and coordination. So you gotta put a little more time in, and you know, to be building strength, building stamina, building coordination. Those are all in, you know, the physical bucket, but there's very different strategies for each, right? So you do different types of protocols to build strength. You do different types of protocols to build stamina, and a different kind of protocol to build coordination. But they all involve kind of having some consistency. Right? You know, strength is repeated sets of strong activity in good form, repeated, you know, for short amounts of time, but repeated consistently over a longer block of time. Stamina is lower level work, usually I think in a fun, inspiring, you know, not the hardest level work, but lower level work. For longer sustained periods of time. So you build up the cardio and you know, the muscles to do that. And then coordination is really about learning a skill and, you know, practicing that coordination, getting it into muscle memory. But that also involves repetition in good form and knowing knowing that you're doing it for the purpose of coordination, knowing you're doing something for the purpose of building stamina, and knowing you're doing something for the purpose of building strength. But when you build strength and stamina and coordination, it sets your horse up to be physically able to do more. So you don't want to miss that piece. I've seen lots of people that are more focused on the mental emotional states of their horse, but sometimes their horses aren't motivated. They don't seem interested in doing it. And sometimes they look like they're struggling and it seems like it's resistance, but it's actually, they just can't. It's lack of coordination. It's lack of strength and lack of stamina. And then they start getting scared because they can't do it. They know they can't do it. And then that can come out like a behavior problem. So asking for more can be like challenging your horse. You don't be afraid to challenge your horse. I've seen this happen multiple times. You have a horse that's like tripping over cross rails. You put down some trot poles and they're tripping over the trot poles. You put up a cross rail and they're tripping over the cross rail. And a lot of times with a horse like that, you'll see people going, oh, they're not ready. They're not ready. But there's some horses that like it has to get like at least 3-6. Before the horse goes, okay, now I will apply myself. Like now it's getting interesting. And that they really, you know, they're like, it's just a, you know, whatever. It's just a pole. And so if you don't ever dare to try to challenge your horse, you might not ever see that. And I remember the first time seeing that, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. And it wasn't just that the horse was scared and now running on adrenaline. There could be that scenario, right? A horse who's tripping over cross rails and then you chase him over a big jump and he gets so freaked out that he's on adrenaline and, you know, taps into that super strength and makes it over the jump. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a horse who's like, oh, now we're talking. Right? You know, it would get boring if somebody was, you know, asking me to repeat the alphabet every day. I'd be like, oh, God, I probably look like the biggest idiot in the world because I'd be like, the alphabet, I'd probably start messing it up just because it's just so boring. It's sloppy. I feel like you don't have to apply yourself. But when it gets a little more challenging, ooh, the ears prick up. You're like, ooh, I got to really pay attention here. And that's when the form comes out. Of course, the key, like I said, is that you're challenging your horse in a way that takes care of his motivation, that he's like game to do it. He's game to do it. You're not chasing him like, oh yeah, you think cross rails are hard. Let me show you something really big. Not like that. Don't do it like that. But don't be afraid to sometimes ask for more. And my horse Brave Tom, when I had him, when he was older, and sort of in semi-retirement, he wasn't competing, but I still owned him and still rode him. And I really had a hard time with this because I was, you know, trying to make it easy for him and trying to make it nice for him and trying to be soft. And we would get into this spiral of he would feel worse and worse and worse. And then I would, you know, be even softer and ask even less of him. And I remember, now this is a long time ago, but I remember one day I was just like, got down to, it was so basic and he was still... like we were struggling and I have to admit at that age, like I was frustrated. I was like, come on, like, you know how to do this. And I lost my, you know, I lost my patience. And after the ride, I thought I got what I wanted. And after the ride, I felt bad because I'm like, oh man, it's like my sweet horse. Like, I can't believe I did that. And then the next day I came out and I was planning on, you know, just having like really pampering him and making nice with him. And he came out and he was like so motivated and he felt so good. And again, not because he was freaked out and scared of me, but he was like, I feel good. I didn't know I still had that in me. And I'm looking at this going, how can this be? And so that really, really surprised me. And I want to say this with like an asterisk and caveat that it doesn't mean that the answer to everything is go ahead and push your horse, because that seems very opposite of everything I teach. But there's a way to do this strategically without losing your patience, just kind of ask yourself, like, maybe I need to make things a little more challenging. Like, maybe I just need to have, you know, a dig deep day. And then notice if you're not, you know, if you do that and your horse is worse the next day or sore the next day, then you just like, whoop, I got some good information from that pendulum swing. And you don't have to do it again. You do it with your eyes wide open. Don't just do it on a day you lose your patience and want to push your horse. Don't do that. But you can entertain the idea of this as a strategy. Okay, and what do I mean by being more obvious with your requests? That's like, you know, we want invisible aids, but they shouldn't be invisible to the horse, right? So in the learning process, you know, sometimes we have to exaggerate a little bit. Sometimes we have to be like, hold up the neon sign. You know, I'm like, hello, horse, like this means this and that means that. Like, let me make it more obvious. And then we can always refine as we go. So you want to make sure that you're not giving dead fish handshakes, right? You're not, you know, if your horse is like, if you're connecting with your horse and you're being that ballroom dance partner, you're like, hey, come on, let's do, you know, and then you kind of like mumble something really softly. You don't want your horse to be like, we're doing what? Like, did she say something? Right? If you're going to like take somebody by the hand and lead them through this path, like give them a hand to hold and take them somewhere. Like no dead fish handshakes. Another analogy could be, I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you, but like you're in a crowd of people, maybe you're, you know, walking out a doorway and someone's about to come in the doorway and you like meet at that exact same time and you both stop and they both go and they both stop and they both go until what? Until one person makes a more obvious body language. One person either just like goes for it or obviously stops and turns their body language and gestures for you to go. Right? So imagine if neither one of you ever got that clear. You could be there forever. Like you both go, then you both stop, you both go, then you both stop. And then you probably just stand there like, well, I don't even remember what I was doing. So in your quest to be invisible and light with your aids, make sure you're not giving dead fish handshakes and make sure you're not being wishy-washy or, you know, the equivalent of muttering unclear instructions to your horse is like, did she say something? So just to be clear, sometimes you just have to be more obvious. Hold up that neon sign. Hold up the neon sign, get it working, and then refine from there. So to sum up, in your quest for softness, lightness, and invisible aids, remember not to mistake that for weakness, dead fish handshakes, and being hard to read. Sometimes to get lightness, you'll need to power things up and put in some grunt work to build the strength and stamina and coordination required. And remember, your aids, even the ones invisible to others, need to be crystal clear to your horse. I hope that helps. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.